for many of us, I think those are familiar words and also words that maybe we want to ignore. Because let's be honest, if I were to ask you about the specks in your neighbors, which is just a catch-all word for your friends, your family, the people that you know, if I was to ask you about the specks in their eyes, you could probably list a bunch of things, right? Especially if you have brothers or sisters. How many of you can list the specks in your brothers and sisters' eyes? Oh, I'm so good at that. In your friends' eyes? So good at that too. And so then we read this and Jesus is like, I know you could do that. Stop it. Because you have a great big log in your own eye. So he's using hyperbole. He's using exaggeration here to get his point off, right? Like somebody has a tiny little sliver and then you've got a giant big log. Obviously you don't. But the idea being, it's so easy to be blind to ourselves and just focus on everybody else, right? And it's nicer to do that. It's so much nicer to sit back here and go, well, if you would just deal with this in you, if you would just deal with this in you and not have to look at ourselves. We do that when we read scripture, I think a lot of times too. We read scripture and we hear it for other people. And oh, if that person would only understand this, or if that person would only understand this, and we ignore ourselves. Oftentimes, I've seen this countless times in Bible studies, I was gonna say never at Walmart, that's not true. But we see this in Bible studies where we're reading a scripture passage and the question might be, what is God saying to you through this passage of scripture? And then we go, oh, well, I think what it means is something for other people, right? It says, do not judge lest you be judged. Oh, I have this friend who judges everybody. They should read this scripture. Instead of going, no, what is this scripture passage saying to you? What is God saying to you in the Bible or in the reading or just while you're out gazing at nature today? And so what Jesus is saying here is, I know that you can list all the specks in your neighbor's eyes. But let's turn back to you for a second and let's see if you can name the log or logs in your own eyes. Let's see if you can name the problems you're having. Let's see if we can name the things that are blocking you from being present with God, are blocking you from being a person who is known for the fruits of the Spirit, like kindness and patience and gentleness and self-control. Let's turn it back on us for a moment. And he says, you hypocrite. Now, hypocrite was a word that was used in the Roman world. It was used to, I mean, we hear it very, very negatively, and it wasn't like it was a compliment, but it's like if you're an actor in a play, and you take on a role, that was what the word hypocrite meant. It was you were taking on a role. So in this environment, in this particular little parable, he's saying, you hypocrite, you're taking on this role as if you have it all figured out, as if you are perfectly clear-sighted and are able to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye, are able to address whatever the issue is that your neighbor has, that your friend has, that your family member has. And so he's saying, stop playing that role. Let's be honest about who we are. Have you ever gone to an interview where they ask you that question, what is one of your weaknesses? Or what's one of the things that you need, areas where you need to grow in? Have you ever been part of an interview where that's one of the questions, right? And it's a pretty common question. And I don't know about you, but I was taught to answer it in a way that made the negative seem really positive. So lie. So for instance, Elaine, what is one of your weaknesses? Oh, I'm such a perfectionist. Everything I do has to be exact and perfect and right. Now, if you're the employer, right, you're going, oh, that's a great thing. Maybe this one is not me, but maybe this is you. Oh, you know what? I am so uptight about being on time. Yeah, it's not you either, is it? Everything has to be clean all the time. I want everything tidy, everything, right? We have this interview question, and if you're anything like me, you were trained that you always have to answer that like that. Like, yeah, saying, this is my weakness. but it's not really. Because we don't want to let anybody in on our real weaknesses, right? If I was at an interview and they say, Elaine, tell us some of your weaknesses, say, it's physically painful for me to get anywhere on time. That's, you can hire me? and so we from job interviews, all of that, we are conditioned in a sense to ignore the logs in our own eye, to pretend the logs aren't there, to try and hide them from everybody else in the world so that only we are aware of them. And Jesus is sitting there, I think, saying, you're not fooling anybody. You're not fooling anybody. When you focus your attention on other people, on the specs, on the issues that other people are not dealing with, everybody knows you're not dealing with your stuff too, because you are somebody's neighbor, you are somebody's friend, you are somebody's family member, and somebody out there is going to be able to tell you what the log is in your eye. And so when I read this, I think right off it sounds pretty straightforward, right? Stop focusing on other people and spend some time focusing on yourself. Except the very end of these verses, in verse 42, he says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. He doesn't just end with, oh, why do you do this? He says, no, get rid of the log, and then you can help with the speck in your neighbor's eye. This is something I think that some people really grab onto and others want to pretend those words aren't there. Because what they are doing is they're saying we have an accountability to each other. And we have a responsibility to each other. It's not that you just let your friend or your neighbor wander around with this speck jabbing in their eye all the time. We have a responsibility to help each other be clear-sighted, to help each other notice the things that are getting in the way for us. Notice and be aware and confront the things that are maybe not godly in our lives. We do have that responsibility. And some of us love that responsibility. We jump at it all the time. And others of us are too afraid to ever step into that responsibility. But it's there. Jesus isn't saying, you have a log in your eye, stop focusing on other people, period. Saying you have a log in your eye, deal with it so that you, with your community, can help each other address the specks in each other's eyes. See, the goal here is community. The goal here and the reality here is that we aren't called to be Christians all by ourselves. We aren't called to be followers of Jesus all by ourselves. I think it's pretty close to impossible. Because being a follower of Jesus is really hard. Because it requires a level of self-reflection. And it requires an awareness of what God is saying, of God's own spirit speaking to us in our lives. And all of us filter those things through our own life experiences, our own challenges, our own biases. All of those things get filtered through that. So we can't ever guarantee that one of us has a clear sense, is able to hear clearly and perfectly from God all the time. We need each other for that. So I might say to somebody, listen, I think I'm hearing God saying this. And they go, let me pray about it. Yep, I think I'm hearing that for you too. Or I don't think I'm hearing that at all for you. Or have you thought about this maybe? We need community. We need each other in order to be able to really follow Jesus well. But even then, we need each other to be able to meet God, to be in God's presence. Because sometimes I'm just not hearing God. I'm just not feeling God. It's just not there. And then I experienced this. I think Emanuela spoke to this earlier. You come into a place where you're gathered with a community of people, and you might not be there, but other people are hearing from God, are experiencing God's presence, and they share that with the community, and then something happens, and you also have entered into that with them. Because it's in the presence of God that we become aware of the logs in our eyes. This is the thing. There are lots of Christians out there who who were very dedicated to pointing out logs, who were very, very dedicated at setting up what the rules are, creating, or not creating, but identifying what the rules are and identifying the people who aren't keeping in line with the rules and coming up with ways of making sure everybody knows what the rules are and whether or not they're keeping the rules. And I've always thought, you know, in my experience, God is very good at convicting us of our sin, the times when we fall short of God's way. God is, as long as we're open to it, as long as we're saying, God, I'm not going to shut my ears to you, God is really good at convicting. And I don't think I've ever found that I need to convict you of an area of your sin or a friend, an area of their sin. Because God does it, right? God points out the logs if we are listening. But my hope is that as we gather together, as we are committed to being in God's presence together, helping each other be in God's presence, that that's where the transformation happens. That's where the Holy Spirit steps in and does that work, alerting us to our logs. And here's the other thing. Once we've been alerted to our logs and we are able to address them, sometimes addressing them, how do we address them? Sometimes it's simple as being convicted of confessing and of turning into a different direction and going a different way. Sometimes it means we need to go find a therapist. Sometimes it means that we need to spend significant amounts of prayer, of time in prayer with other Christian brothers and sisters to help release us of those things. Who knows what it is? Every log is different. It's such a weird analogy to be using over and over, these logs. But you may know what the logs are. What are the things that are obstructing your vision of God? Let me ask you that. What are the things that are in the way of you being like Jesus? Those are the logs that God would address. And maybe you don't know. And that's where we invite somebody along to pray with us, to confirm with us. And that's where sometimes we are invited by others to be honest, to speak honestly about what they see in us. We say, where do I need to be growing in my faith, do you think, my friend? And maybe they know and maybe they don't, but they pray with us. When we are in God's presence, we are convicted of the logs that cloud our vision. But that is also where we discern when is time to speak and when is time to be silent. One of the things ministers do is have a lot of conversations with a lot of people a lot of times, and often when people are struggling or suffering. And I'm really good at drawing attention to people's specs and ignoring my own logs. And so I had to learn very early on in my time as being a pastor, and I would go visit people and I would, say, drive up in my car, arrive on TTC, whatever, however I'm getting there. And I would just take a moment and go, God, I pray that you would give me the words to speak and that you would shut my mouth when it's time for my mouth to be shut. And there's a lot of times when I will be sitting with somebody and almost physically feel God go, now is a time to listen. And I have found it very effective to just ask God to tell me when to shut my mouth, and he does. And I think that that's so simple, that that's something that we can all do, right? When we're in conversation with somebody, just have a quick, God, tell me when to speak, tell me when to keep quiet and listen. And then we trust that God will tell us when to speak and when to be quiet, because we are still called to speak into each other's lives, right? And we are all called to allow others to speak into our lives. My sister, I was complaining to my sister one day, complaining a lot about something that I was really frustrated with. And she said to me, Elaine, do you want me to give you some advice to respond to what I'm hearing from you? Or do you want me to just say, that really sucks. I agree, Elaine. That's awful. What do you want from me right now? And in the moment, I didn't want any advice from her. I just wanted her to be frustrated and angry with me. And so that's what she did. And so sometimes we need to say that to other people, right? We need to say, actually, what I don't need from you right now is you pointing out the logs or the specks in my eye. I just need you to be like in this with me. And other times we might say, actually, I do need to hear truth from you because I'm not hearing it myself. I'm not hearing it from God. It's so easy to focus on the other person. But each of us is called by God to be a follower of Jesus, to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us into Jesus' likeness. That's first. Are we able to be there? Are we willing to be there? Are we willing to let the Holy Spirit do that transformational work in us? I think that's the question that Jesus asks us this morning. I don't think Jesus is mad at us. It sounds like that. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your... I don't think Jesus is mad at us. I think Jesus just knows us. Jesus knows that it's so much easier to focus on other people than ourselves. But let's be honest about ourselves. What are the things that are in the way for us? What are the things that are clouding our vision of God? What are the things that are blocking us from becoming more like Jesus?